This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. Ryan, are you looking to boost your immune system?
I'm so ill that I fainted right before we turned the show on.
I hate to hear it, but I do think I have a solution. Introducing Mighty Muscadine, king of the superfruits.
Sounds like a superhero.
Well, these guys are practically superheroes. Every single one of their products are packed with organic polyphenol content, essential micronutrients, and I'm telling you, these grapes are just dripping with antioxidants designed to strengthen your body's defenses. It's going to help you stay resilient all year round.
And these guys have everything. They have grape juice, they have all natural energy shots, protein powders, they got seed oil, toothpaste, body lotion, shampoo. And here's the best part. You can use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products.
And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. So don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now, that's MightyMuscadine.com, and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away. With that said, let's start the show.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find more information about our show on our website, clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work at abhidhanshah.com.
And we're interrupting the regular flow of things, Dr. Shah, because we want to talk about the recent tragedy that happened as at the time of you're listening and watching this, yesterday's tragedy, the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
That's right. I saw it this morning about, or yesterday morning, about 5:30, maybe 6:30 on one of my news feed. And I was like, well, wait a minute, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And there's two of them. One is in D.C. and one is in Baltimore. So I wasn't sure which one that was. So then I clicked on the video to see what was happening, and it was shocking. Yeah. To just see that. It seems something like from a movie.
Yeah.
And to see this big ship just coming towards the pillar of this bridge, and then the lights flickered, and before you know it, it hits that bridge.
Yeah.
And you can see cars just flying by.
Yeah.
And then everything collapses.
Yeah,
it is horrific.
It looks
it
like
was a horrifying
out of a horror
thing
movie,
to
yeah.
watch.
Yes, yes. And I try to picture myself being one of those drivers on that bridge at that moment. Can you imagine the terror, the fear, the shock?
It's one of those things that you always kind of envision happening, especially when you drive over a bridge, but you don't ever actually think it's going to happen. When you sent the video, because this is one of the things that where it's sort of lost in translation when you're listening to it, because this is you're listening to it on Wednesday, but it for us
was Tuesday
just
morning.
Yeah, just, like we're recording it, and it just happened like maybe 10 hours ago.
Yeah,
exactly.
So everything is sort of still
fresh,
kind of fresh.
Yeah. It's
all the information is streaming in.
Yeah.
So when I saw the video, I didn't realize that the ship hit it. I thought it was a structural collapse.
Right.
And I was like, because I didn't, I thought when I saw that it come down, it hits the ship. I was like, oh man, that ship was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I came here, we started making coffee, started prepping for the show. I was talking to Nicole and she was like, yeah, the ship hit it. That's what made it collapse.
Right. It took out one of the pillars and apparently the power went out.
Yeah,
and I'm not an expert in navigation or in ships to even talk about it, even remotely. But the power went out and they could not steer the ship and it kept going and hitting this pillar. And when it did, it was not like hours later, it was immediately.
Instantly
it went down.
That's the thing that struck me the most about watching the video is that it is an instantaneous collapse.
Yes.
It's not like it just starts to crumble, starts to fall apart. It is standing and then a second later it is in the water.
When you see like movies and stuff where you see like structural buildings fall, it's like they want to play it up for like the drama. It takes forever for the fall. But when you see the video of like how fast a car goes from driving to just being underwater, like it was
unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I can't.
And I mean, there's a news feed behind us right now. Yeah. If you're watching it on YouTube, you can see this. How horrifying this looks. The ship, of course, the one that hit that pillar, is caught under the bridge, mm-hmm. a part of that bridge. And then the rest of the bridge on the corners is still standing.
Look at how small that boat is.
Yeah.
Okay, so the shipping container, when you see it from the air, you lose perspective.
Yeah. Right.
Look how small that rescue boat is.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's a massive structure
that is down there. Yeah.
You really lose perspective, yeah. I think, I can't believe that.
And not only people traveling on that bridge died, mm-hmm. or missing right now, but also construction workers.
Yeah.
Two were rescued, I believe.
Yeah. At the time that we're recording this, it says that there's six that are still missing.
And not only 10 minutes ago. Oh, six are missing. Okay. I see.
There were eight total. Two have been rescued, but
six
are still missing.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you do with something like this, Dr. Shah, because this is a Christian show.
Yeah.
You know, and this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, where it's like, you know, have faith in God, trust in God. But then something like this happens and it's like, how do we make that true for us?
How do you work this out with what you believe? I mean, this is that kind of the age old question, like how could a loving, good, powerful God allow bad things to happen?
Yeah. Right. Well, from one side, we know that this is going to be discussed for a very long time. Mm-hmm. There will be repercussions for what has happened here.
Yeah.
And so the people who are responsible for this, whether it was an accident, a mistake, I mean, there's going to be a lot of investigations to come. I'm sure they've already begun.
It's coming.
And so we're going to hear a lot about that. But on the other side, looking at it from more of a theological perspective, it is also a time for us as believers to wrestle with this issue too. We're not mm-hmm. talking about who is at fault or who is responsible for this, whose negligence caused such a horrific act. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about it from the perspective of why do these things even happen mm-hmm. in this world? Why do bad things happen? And here's a great example of that discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it like from an outsider perspective, like I can't believe who would allow something like this to happen. Who's at fault? Like what breakdown caused this to happen? But there are also people who, regardless of who's at fault, they still have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
They still have a dad that's not coming home, or they still have a mom that they're not going to see again.
Yeah. And I think we see a lot of times this polarization of where the conversation actually goes.
Yeah.
And I think our goal as a radio show is to bring it to the middle, because you will have people who are like, we need to figure out who's responsible for this.
Right.
And then there's people who's like, that's not important. We need to care about the families and just show love. But there is somewhere in the middle where mm-hmm.
yeah.
God is. And
right.
he's saying, yes. Hey, there's something to be learned from this.
There's something
to be gained from this.
And that's what we want to focus on in this little time we have is talk about why do bad things happen in the world that belongs to a good God?
Right.
True.
And yes, bad things do happen because we live in a fallen world.
Right.
We live in a world of tragedies. Whether somebody caused this in a terrible, mischievous way or in a terrorist way, or somebody caused this by just negligence, which mm-hmm. is what it looks like here. Mm-hmm. Either way, bad things happen in this world and God allows them for a reason.
Mm-hmm. How do you reconcile that? Like, how do you point to God's grace in a situation like this? You know, because I feel like that's what people need. And right now, especially, that's what people need to see. But in the face of tragedy, do you feel like people either reject it or they move away from it? They feel like that's not what they need in that moment? Or
yeah, some people who are not believers mm-hmm. will immediately say, oh, but let's not talk about all that. Right now, we need to figure out who caused this mm-hmm. or we need to find ways to help and support and love on these people or just come together as people. And that all those things need to happen. But also, the bigger questions also need to be addressed, which is, you know, God allowed this once again to demonstrate to us that we live in a fallen world. I mean, this pun intended, I mean, this is a fallen world.
Yeah.
This is where bad things happen. And it's a product of the sinful world in which we live.
Yeah. it's so, I feel like that's the hang up for people a lot of times, especially if you've gone through tragedy. That's the sticking point. Like, how do I reconcile this hurt, this deep pain that I have with the fact that God is in control of everything, but this passed through his hand? Did God cause this to happen? Did God make this happen in my life? How do I think about God as a loving God, but also allowing tragedy to happen?
That's right.
Right. And I think also this setting up opportunities for Christians to be displaying Christ, if that makes sense, in the face of tragedy. Like, it's easy to display Christ when things are going good, but people will ignore it.
Right. Well, let's back up for a moment and talk about what God has done. You see, in this sinful world, because of sin, there is fallenness, there are accidents, there are bad people, and bad things happen. But this is why God sent his son in this world, to make things right.
Right.
He died on the cross for our sins, not only to pay the pardon for our sins, but to initiate the plan of redeeming this world. Mm-hmm. Now, you may say, well, why didn't he do that before this happened? And why didn't he do that before all the tragedies of the world have happened? Why did he allow all this to happen? Because God has a plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that plan cannot be done on my schedule or your schedule. That plan is not, okay, God, if you don't do that, then you must not be. No, God knows best. Mm-hmm. In his sovereignty, in his wisdom, he allows this world to keep going with the problems, with the accidents, with the terrorist attacks, all these horrible things. He allows the world to go through that. But in the process, he is redeeming mankind through his son, Jesus Christ. In the process, he is setting up the new heavens and the new earth where these things will not happen. Mm-hmm. And I know somebody who's not a believer will easily dismiss that and say, okay, whatever. Yeah, I didn't need to hear that today. I'm sorry, but I hope this will open your eyes to the bigger question, which is, what has God done for us?
Well, I think without that truth, without that question of asking what has God done for us, you look at something like this happening, this bridge collapse, and you think this is the true world. It's chaos. It's random. There's nothing solid. You know what I mean? Like,
but you are coming face to face with fallenness.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this is a sinister attack or anything like that. It doesn't seem like it so far. It seems like somebody's mistake.
Right.
Or an accident. But nonetheless, tragedies like this bring us face to face with, it is not a wonderful world.
Right.
I mean, I like Louis Armstrong and I love the song and I think we need to be positive, but it's not a wonderful world.
Right.
This should remind us the world is fallen, the world is sinful, the world has death.
That's right.
And suffering and sorrow.
Yeah.
And frustrations and bitterness. But now the next question is, well, what is God doing?
Right.
But God is drawing people towards himself while maintaining his plan of redemption. Mm-hmm. Okay? For God to immediately fix something right from the beginning and say, let's start. Well, he made a perfect world. It's because human beings sinned that this has come in.
Right.
Yeah.
But he did not sit back and say, well, I don't know about this now. Or let me just go and make it again, another world. No, that's what human beings do. It's like, let's just start again.
Yeah.
That's not how he works. And thank God for that, because he is wiser than us. He is, he has so much more understanding about life and future than we do. So he has allowed this world to continue with sin in it, with the enemy in it, with tragedies, with disasters. But in that process, he brought his son in the fullness of time into this world.
Yeah.
And it was not that the son was just sitting back the whole time saying, one day I'll come and then I'll try to down the cross. No, even throughout history, he's been doing everything he can to use tragedies to draw people to himself.
True. This is not a first time. This is not the first time that we'll see God work and make situations blossom out of tragedies.
Right.
You know, he's been doing that for his people all throughout history.
Yeah. Suffering is redemptive. Now, it's redemptive in a believer's life, but suffering is also the way he brings people towards himself. He doesn't cause it. That's caused by sin.
Right.
That's caused by fallenness. But he uses these things to open the eyes of people and help them realize their need for God. Yeah. Now, some will reject him. This is proof positive for an atheist to go, see, there is no God. Would God allow that? But there are many other people who will also see this and go, you know, life is unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And there is an emptiness in my heart, and I need some answers.
Yeah.
And when they begin to ask that question, who is in charge then? Mm-hmm. More than just the shipping industry or what went wrong in the hull of that ship or whatever, but who is in charge? Who is really in charge of this world? Okay, God. Then what is God doing? The right questions.
Yeah.
Now we can get to the right answers.
That's true. That's true, because it's kind of the difference, I guess, between believing in God and trusting God. Because if we truly believe that God is there and he's sovereign, then this he was completely in control of this.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason.
Yeah.
Something is going to come out of it.
Yeah. Well, you said something really interesting that I think is an important distinction for people, that God did not cause this.
Right.
God is not the source of heartbreak and heartache and tragedy in the world. But isn't it beautiful to believe in a God who can use those things mm-hmm. for good?
He does use those things.
And the redeeming process. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned this points to God as a redeemer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's not a snap your fingers. That's the process of redeeming us, redeeming the world through this life, through suffering. I mean, that's a beautiful outlook on a terrible thing.
Suffering reminds us that we're not God.
Right.
Yeah.
Suffering reminds us of the brevity of life. Suffering reminds us that there's got to be more mm-hmm. than just catch the guilty party and prosecute them.
Right.
Let's build better bridges. Let's put lights, you know, whatever you want to do. Let's have better, faster emergency notification system. Yes, we need all those things, but it's got to be more than that.
Right.
And that's when God comes in. And one by one, as our questions are asked and the answers are given, he draws us closer and closer to the deeper question, which is, I need a redeemer because mm-hmm. I am fallen. It's not just the bridge is fallen. It's not just tragedies happen. I am myself, I'm a tragedy.
Yeah.
And I am a sinner. And I need a savior.
That's why I think episodes like this are so important, because inevitably when tragedy happens, people are going to have those moments of questioning, those moments of, even if they're not a believer, like, what is happening? Like you just, like you said, Dr. Shah, who's really in charge of this world? What is going on?
Yeah.
And what a great opportunity to point people toward Christ, to point people toward the one who has a plan, even when it seems like everything is falling apart.
I think even towards just like a repentance, like a repentance from sin. Like it seems, and I think every radio show is going to be talking about this, every podcast, everybody's going to be talking about this thing. But mm-hmm. I think even looking for us, a repentance from sin, can that help a situation like this? I believe so, especially if enough people do it. And it seems weird to put an individual repentance on the scale of a, you know, national tragedy like this. At the same time, what happens when Christians start to repent, when Christians across the nation actually start to believe the things they say they believe?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there are people who are listening to us right this moment or watching us will say, what do you mean? I need to repent for the bridge? I need to repent for that ship that ran into the pillar? What do I repent for? I believe we need to repent the way Moody had to repent. D.L. Moody. When he was having this big crusade evangelistic meeting in Chicago, and I believe it was in Chicago, and he was going to give an invitation, but he felt like, you know, let me just wait for another night. Let's do it tomorrow night. People are tired. Let's go home, and I'll do it tomorrow. What he didn't realize is that same night, the big Chicago fire spread all over, and many, many people died.
That's true.
Wow.
And the next morning, as the flames were still rising and the smoke and the haze was all over that city, Moody sat there and he thought to himself, you know, what about those people who died and never had the chance to give their lives to Jesus Christ? Mm. And he told himself, never again will I ever delay sharing the gospel with anybody. Never again will I ever deliberate in inviting someone to come to Christ.
That's right.
So the repentance, if you want to know, it's not like, oh, how terrible we are that doesn't make sense. The repentance could be our lack of urgency in sharing the gospel.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And I mean, even then, think about like the root, just like Dr. Shah said, the root cause of what happened here is sin.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's negligence, it's, you know, there's slothfulness, there's a complacency or whatever is going on, whoever was in the ships and who's control of the power, whatever happened. But it's easy to say, well, I would never be that negligent. I would take the, but the root cause of it is still sin. It's still in me. Right, and I think each and every single one of us have the propensity to end up causing something like this if we were in the right conditions,
right?
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. And we have to lose that barbaric mind that that doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
The real questions are here, guys. That's what the world likes to do.
Yeah.
Because any time you have a discussion like this, it's too complicated. It's too complex. It's too deep. And that's not going to help us. Mm-hmm. When actually these are the very discussions that will help.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Not only believers, but unbelievers, this nation, these are the discussions that bring us to the right place, which is a relationship with the living true God.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I hope today's discussion is bringing people to that point of saying, wow, you know, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
There will be people talking about justice, and there'll be people talking about negligence and accidents and our infrastructure and building better bridges. And, well, it wasn't built right. And maybe it should have been built this way. I mean, there's going to be so much talk that's going to go on.
Oh, yeah.
There's also going to be talk about how we need to care for people and how we need to have a support system. Where is the support system? So there's going to be a lot of talk in that direction. There'll be talk about how we need to prevent such tragedies in the future. And all that is wonderful, and mm-hmm. I think we need that. But also there are deeper questions.
Yeah.
Right, right. And when we answer those deeper questions, when we look at those deeper questions of God being the one in charge, all of those other things fall into place.
Yes.
Because if we point our attention toward God, who is in control of this world, even over allowing tragedies like this to happen, that points us to the one who we derive the concept of justice from. That points us to the one who is our comfort. So all of those other things are important.
Yes.
But they are falling under the main category, which is pointing to who God is.
Yes. Don't let this horrible, horrible tragedy go to waste.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Christians, talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your children about it. Talk to your family, your friends, your neighbors, people at work. Some, you know, after a while, people will be like, I don't want to hear about that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it just breaks my heart. I just don't want to talk about it anymore. Don't necessarily talk about the details of what's happened here. But do talk about the bigger question.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, there's an entire book of the Bible dedicated to how one Christian man or one believer in God dealt with tragedy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Job and just...
I believe he was a Christian. I mean, he saw Christ.
Yeah, true. Hey, that's true. That's true. But, you know, I think that's a good thing for us to kind of come back to the story of Job and to see his faithfulness and to see how, like you said, his friends, they tried to distract him, tried to take the conversation somewhere else. Don't worry about this here. What we need to be focusing on for you is this right here.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about that, I couldn't help but think of Job sitting around with his friends and refusing to let himself be taken off to a place where, and that's again the thing, when we have a radio show like this, we feel like we have an obligation to put the conversation where it needs to be,
right?
Because there's so many people with microphones and platforms and podcasts and all this stuff who just want to talk. They just want you to hear their opinions and their voices.
They have the talking points. It'll be the same everywhere, but we hope that we're trying to get you to the heart of the matter.
Right. That's right.
And so I'm praying that this horrible thing, as I see these images from the television news stations, I mean, there are so many news stations all around this bridge. By the way, we believe we have been on this bridge because I've been to New York several times, to Philadelphia, and then also our daughter is in Boston.
And her
husband are in Boston. So we went through D.C. to Baltimore, to Philadelphia, New York, into Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And so more than likely we went on that bridge. We went on many bridges. I mean, when you go on that East Coast, I mean, there are so many bridges.
They're all over the place.
Up in that area, there's lots of bridges.
Yeah, but if I'm not wrong, I think we've been on that bridge.
Yeah, I remember I went to Baltimore for a mission trip when I was like 15. I think that was the year I got saved. I went to Baltimore. I don't believe we crossed that bridge. I don't think we needed to get to where we were going, but I've definitely either seen it or been around.
I'm sure.
Well, even for there to be as many cars and things on it as there were at 1 a.m. when the collision happened. I mean, that's a heavy thoroughfare. There's lots of traffic that goes in and out of there. So tons of people have been over and around that bridge.
We've got a little bit of time left, and I was wondering maybe if we could end the show by praying. But before we do that, Dr. Shaw, what is something that the average Christian listening to this show right now, he's like, okay, I hear you. I want to meditate on this. I want to reflect on this. Pray about this. What can I do going forward? Mm. What can I do to, I guess, not only just to help, but just how do I live my life better in the face of a tragedy like this? My Christian life.
I would say two things, definitely. Don't take life for granted. Don't take life for granted. Don't just live. Live knowing that anything can happen any moment. But I'm not telling you to be paranoid or be anxious or stressed out. Any moment, any bridge, I cannot go over a bridge. I saw some of those comments on Twitter. Well, I don't know what is the name of that platform is now, but
it's like he changes it every day.
I saw a lot of comments. It's like, this is why I hate bridges. I hope we will not give into the spirit of fear.
Right.
True. Yeah.
That's what the enemy loves. Don't go there. But do recognize things can happen any moment. The good we want to do today, do it today. Mm-hmm. The way we want to serve God, what we want to do for God, do it today.
That's right.
Secondly, learn to find solace and grace and healing and comfort in God.
That's right.
I think a lot of times we go to people and entertainment and hobbies or whatever it is to find that comfort. Train yourself to find comfort in God. Train yourself, because you never know, either you or somebody close to you. Now, I don't know anybody, at least so far, who is impacted by that tragedy in Baltimore right now. I don't know anybody. I haven't heard. My phone hasn't rang. No emails. I checked my emails because we do know people in that direction, but nobody has said, hey, did you know that bridge, so-and-so? Nothing like that. But you never know what will happen tomorrow.
Yeah. True. That's very
true. So if you train yourself to lean upon God's grace, so when those things do happen, you can help people lean upon God's grace.
Amen.
That's so good. And if you're looking for a way to help navigate through a crisis, I want to suggest to you Dr. Shaw and Nicole's book, 30 Days Through a Crisis.
It's true.
That's the first devotional in the 30-day series. It was written in light of 2020, but it is applicable to any crisis or any difficult situation that you're facing. 30 days in your daily devotions can help you, just like we've talked on this episode, refocus your mind and your heart on who God is. Answer those deeper questions behind the tragedy, not just how do we figure out who's responsible or how do we offer comfort, but how do I love God more? How do I draw closer to God in light of what's happened?
One of the things that I love about that book, there's a chapter in it that just talks about in the face of crisis, you actually praise God. Yeah. And I know it's crazy. And kind of like you said, I'm also, everything I'm saying, I'm filtering through the lens of how would the outside world see this comment. But in the face of a tragedy like this, you actually thank God and praise him for still being who he is, even despite circumstances like this.
Right.
And that kind of, I think, gets at the heart of what our worship is. If our praise is truly a response, not a response to what's happened, but a response to who God is, and knowing that God is the same like yesterday, today, and forever, then he's holy and he's sovereign. And even in spite of this, we still praise him.
Amen.
That's a great point. The world around us has changed and been rocked by tragedy, but God hasn't changed.
That's right. That's right. He's still the same. Dr. Shaw, do you want to just kind of close us in prayer?
Yes, let's do that. Father, we come before you today, and God, we are heartbroken over this horrific tragedy that has struck so many near Baltimore, in Maryland, D.C., who knows where these people were coming or going to. So God, we just pray that at this time in our nation, as it has been before many times, where tragic things happen, whether it was an accident or a sinister attack, either way, God, we pray that people's hearts would not be closed towards you, but they would open towards you. That, yes, we will ask the right questions about justice and efficiency or better systems, but also ask the deeper questions about who allowed this and why would God do that and what is God up to? And in the process of asking those questions, Lord, that they will ask a deeper question, which is, who can fix my fallenness? And that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, as believers, to be ready with the gospel. Not ready to just preach at people, but ready to show grace and compassion. And in that process, draw people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we know that no tragedy will go to waste. And so we pray, God, that your people will use this opportunity, the churches and pastors and youth pastors will use this time to help people connect to Jesus Christ and find grace in him. We love you. We thank you for the show, God. Thank you for how it helps us clarify our thinking and draw us closer to Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Shaw. Thank you for this episode that helps us not just think rightly about this recent tragedy, but about tragedy in general and how we need to focus on God throughout all of it. Hopefully today was helpful for you. If it was, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to that bottom, click the donate button, and let us know what's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, we're continuing the conversation with Nicole in tomorrow's episode.
Yes, we will be back with Nicole tomorrow, and then I think our Good Friday episode is after that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wonderful. Thank you guys for tuning in with us today. Join us tomorrow. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.